Scott, stop! Turn that thing off, will you? My household's resident baseball expert, food critic, and soon-to-be 12-year-old has informed me that the New World Notes theme song was never that good in the first place, has gotten old real quickly, and, in a word, of sorts, sucks. Then, the other day, I was digging around YouTube, looking for some audio about the European Union, an entity designed and funded by Third Reich industrialists and whatever the German equivalent of Wall Street is. So, doing a YouTube search for relevant videos, I find one titled Europe, the Final Countdown. Okay, sounds like a promising approach to the EU. Let's give it a look. If you're a young whippersnapper, now in, say, your early 40s, you can see where this is leading. Ladies and gentlemen, from the spacious underground studios of WWUH in Darkest, Connecticut, it's now time for New World Notes! Featuring your editor and host, Dr. Kenneth Notes! What the heck? The final countdown to getting our troops out of Iraq, Afghanistan, and, God help us all, Pakistan, has begun. And we citizens, starting right now, can speed up the end of the affair. Okay, how do we know the countdown to the end has begun? Because our GIs, our citizen soldiers, are rebelling against killing civilians in order to guarantee that Conoco Oil get to be the one to build and control an oil and gas pipeline from Kazakhstan to the sea. The long-term de facto rulers of Afghanistan, the Taliban, have welcomed Conoco and invited it to participate in the competitive bidding with other countries in the world for pipeline rights. Competitive bidding? That has no place in American-style capitalism. Competitive bidding tends to lower prices and profits. Ask Mr. Cheney of Halliburton. Conoco had a better idea. We'll just send the Marines to do a little regime change, in the process killing maybe as few as 10,000 Americans and 7 million innocent men, women, and children in Kazakhstan, Afghanistan, and Pakistan. Did I mention that the American-installed figurehead president of Afghanistan is a former highly paid consultant to Conoco? The Honorable Hamid Karzai. So we start and then escalate another war based on lies and wanton disregard of all morality and all law. We're just protecting Afghanistan's women from those oppressive misogynists, the Taliban, you see. And you'll never guess who else are oppressive misogynists. You guessed? All the leading figures of the Karzai government? See, the American people aren't as stupid as their leaders wish. Despite the best efforts of Fox News, PBS, and our urban public schools. And often, while we couch potatoes are sitting around on our fatty acids and absorbing feedlot runoff, our citizen soldiers, sent abroad to kill innocents and be killed by patriots defending their own homeland against a ruthless invading army, not surprisingly, our citizen soldiers are often the first to catch on and the first to rebel. The admirable independent journalist Dar Jamail says that the GI rebellion in Asia Minor and the Gulf is well underway. The enlisted men are revolting! You're telling me, replies the officer, and the women are even worse. Dar says that the next step towards ending the insanity is ours to take, we civilians. Dar's first book of unembedded eyewitness reporting of the Iraq War and occupation was called Beyond the Green Zone. It's excellent, and it won the prestigious Martha Gellhorn Award. He now has a new book called The Will to Resist, Soldiers Who Refused to Fight in Iraq and Afghanistan. Speaking in Hartford on September 20, Dar discussed the GI Rebellion, now off to a great start overseas. He stressed that the war will end when enough soldiers rebel, and enough soldiers will rebel when the rebels receive the help, active support, and encouragement of enough of us here on the home front. More support from us means more courage to resist by our GIs. More resistance by our GIs inspires more courage to help and support them by the civilians. Synergy! And Jamail showed that it worked, and how it worked, to end the ignoble, obscene U.S. rape of Vietnam 35 years ago. I know Jamail is right from my personal experience in the so-called Vietnam era. Here are the two most powerful political moments of my young adulthood. The first was in the spring of 1969. A college freshman, I joined a public ceremony in which, with some fanfare, two draft-age acquaintances of mine unlawfully burned their draft cards, symbolically holding a finger up to Nixon and the U.S. military machine. It was a thrilling and energizing moment for me, and being relieved of my virginity in admirable style by a fellow attender a few hours later did nothing to diminish my memory of the card burning that afternoon. The card burners' names were John and Tom, and my lover's name was Fran. I remember her last name, but for some reason, not the guy's. My second powerful moment came a few years later, when I saw news footage of a huge rally in Washington, in which scores of Vietnam veterans each hurled his combat medals back onto the steps of the U.S. Capitol, and then briefly denounced the war. At that moment, I knew that the goddamn Vietnam War would have to end, and soon. I don't know if I cried with relief and admiration, but I would today. And like the draft card burning, the sight of those admirable veterans energized me to do a little more to end the war than the not very much I had lately been doing. So Dar is right, and I thank him for reminding us incipient geezers, and I thank him for alerting the youngins to this truth. So here's the menu for the rest of this installment and the next two. After a break for some music, we'll hear my edited, condensed 9-minute version of Jamail's 16-and-a-half-minute talk in Hartford's Bushnell Park on Sunday afternoon, September 20. If this much editing makes you suspicious, good for you. On this show's website, you will find both my edited version and the uncut, unedited, complete version of Jamail's speech, so you can hear for yourself that I've done nothing to the slightly rambling talk except improve it. Dar spoke later that evening, elsewhere, and two listeners told me that his talk that night was superb. I missed it. That's this week. Then the next 2 weeks' shows feature my radio adaptation of an excellent documentary film on our GI's tremendous resistance to the Vietnam War. Are you familiar with the term GI? Is that still in common use? It means soldier. The initials go back at least to World War II and stand for Government Issued. If your vision needs to be corrected, you don't wear your own eyeglasses, you wear a government-issued, or GI, pair. You wear a GI uniform, sleep under a GI blanket, shoot a GI rifle, and the joke goes, if the Army wanted you to have a wife, it would have issued one to you. So the soldiers themselves came to be known as the GIs, and the name stuck. So today, Dar Jamail, and our soldiers' resistance to the wars in Iraq and AFPAC. Before that, how about a little music? Like Jamail, here Jefferson Airplane urges and celebrates solidarity with people of goodwill everywhere. Soldier and civilian, black and white, red and yellow, American, Iraqi, Afghani, Pakistani, Vietnamese, and not to forget man and woman. Thank you, Fran. Thank you, John and Tom. Thank you, Jane Fonda. Thank you, the Vietnam Veterans Against the War, VVAW, the Iraq Veterans Against the War, IVAW, and everybody except the VFW. The hilltops dew pearled. God's in his heaven. All is most seriously not right in the world, but we can make it better.
why I decided to go to Iraq back early on in the occupation was probably for a lot of the same reasons that most of you are here today on this beautiful Sunday, and that's that you understand that something's fundamentally wrong with this country. And, of course, during the lead-up to the invasion of Iraq with George Bush sitting in the office of presidency, it was a lot more obvious and blatant. But like most of you, I was watching the corporate media, the selling of the war. We all remember the weapons of mass destruction that never existed. We all remember the ties to 9/11 that never existed. And we all certainly remember the lies of liberating the Iraqi people. Of course, that never existed either. And now, of course, it's so clear that we all see what this war was about and what this ongoing occupation is about. And now what is so clear about Afghanistan as well, which is basically the same thing. This is not about finding Osama bin Laden. This is about protecting and taking other countries' natural resources and pipelines for those resources. And I started talking back 2 years ago from right now. The first guy I met, he was Corporal Phil Aliff, a member of Iraq Veterans Against the War. And he was in Iraq, and I asked him, well, how was it for you over there? How was morale? And he said, well, morale was low. It was not good. We were basically driving around on patrols waiting to get blown up. We called it the IED lottery, the improvised explosive device lottery, basically waiting for a roadside bomb to go off. And we understood that this wasn't about our security. It wasn't about bringing the Iraqi people in any security. It was just basically about being there, driving around, mostly for the media to show, yeah, we have this presence on the ground. And so he said, we decided to stop doing these patrols. So what we would do is we would go out to the end of our patrol route. We would find a nice big open field. We would park our Humvees and we would pretend. And we would call into base every hour and we would say, hey, we're still searching the field for weapons caches. We'll talk to you in another hour. And he said that we called these search and avoid missions. Then I asked Colonel Aliff, well, how often were you doing this? And he said, oh, about every other day. Everyone was doing it. And I was shocked. I'd never heard that before. And then about a week later, I met another soldier, also active duty, different time of the occupation, different place where he was based in Iraq. Same story. We were doing search and avoid missions, little bit of variation on them. And then a little further into the tour, I met another member of IVAW, a guy named Seth Manziel, who now is outside Fort Lewis in Washington State. And he shared another interesting story of this type of GI resistance that was happening in Iraq. And that by then it started to dawn on me, this is overt GI resistance that we're talking about here. These are soldiers who are refusing to participate in this ongoing illegal occupation. I started to dig deeper and deeper, and the deeper I dug, the more different types of resistance I found. For a little context, our country has a long, rich tradition of GI resistance. All we have to do is look back to Vietnam. We had a GI resistance movement at that time that was absolutely massive and without a doubt helped bring an end to that war. And this happened because enough people got behind this GI resistance movement and supported them and came up and said, what do you need? What do we need to do to help you do more GI resistance? Because then, as many people now understand, unless there's real GI resistance and real civilian population support for GI resistance, any real talk about ending both of these illegal occupations is just going to be talk. But in Vietnam, we saw that talk translated into action, and we saw what could happen with a very broad, strong, vibrant, powerful civilian anti-war movement that then threw its weight behind a GI resistance movement, enough so that by the end of Vietnam, just about half the soldiers on the ground would not follow orders. So when you have a military and you're a government and you're trying to wage war and half that military will not follow your orders, it makes it kind of hard for you to wage war. And so that, coupled with a very fierce Vietnamese resistance, helped bring an end to the war in Vietnam. Another example from Vietnam that a lot of people have never heard about is that towards the end of Vietnam, during the height of the massive air bombing campaign against that country, two of the United States' 14 aircraft carrier groups were completely taken offline by sabotage from sailors within those boats themselves. So this country does have a very rich history of GI resistance and a tradition that actually has ended one of the biggest wars of the last century. And it certainly can happen again. And this is not pie-in-the-sky stuff. So when we bring it into modern times and talk about GI resistance today, we know that according to Pentagon figures, and it's always safe to assume that figures like these coming directly from the Pentagon itself are on the low end, but according to the Pentagon, we've had well over 55,000 troops so far have gone AWOL since September 11, 2001. In the Army alone, from 2006 to 2007, we've seen a 42% increase of the number of troops going absent without leave. We're looking at an average of about 10,000 troops every year now that are going absent without leave because they see, for various reasons, anything from I just don't want to go overseas and be in combat to really high moral and ethical reasons. We have many soldiers now that are starting to stand up, even against Afghanistan, soldiers that have a deep understanding of international law and the U.S. Constitution and understand that if they, as soldiers, agree to be deployed to Iraq or Afghanistan, that's going to be a direct violation of international law. It's going to be, therefore, a direct violation of the U.S. Constitution and cause them to completely violate the oath they swore as a soldier to support and defend the Constitution of the United States. And if these soldiers who put everything on the line to do this, knowing they're going to be court-martialed, knowing they're going to go to jail, knowing they're going to risk losing their benefits, knowing they're probably going to get a dishonorable discharge and catch a lot of hell from their peers, are still willing to stand up and do it, then I think the question we all have to ask ourselves is what are we willing to do to support these people? Because they're doing it right now. They're doing it every day right here in the U.S. to one degree or another. People ask me all the time when I give talks now, especially about GI resistance, what can I do? What should we do? What can we do to help these people? Well, this is very easy right now today because when I finish talking, you can go right over here to Iraq Veterans Against the War's table, and there's a couple of these guys here. They're in the audience right now, and go up, just literally go up and ask these guys, what can I do to help you guys? Maybe I can find some vets in my area that I can help support. Maybe there's someone here right now today that has orders to deploy, and maybe they're having second thoughts about it, and they're going to need some support. They're going to need a lawyer. They're going to need some civilian support, certainly plenty of moral support. So there's a lot of things that can be done. And what I really want to impress upon you is that there is GI resistance happening, and it is growing as we speak. These are not people who are being unpatriotic. These are not people who are just saying, hey, I want to shirk my duty because I'm lazy. But these are people that realize that in order to follow international law and the U.S. Constitution and the oath they swore as soldiers to support and defend the Constitution, they are morally and lawfully obliged to publicly refuse orders to deploy to either of these illegal and immoral occupations. That's how a resistance movement is built. In my opinion, I think the most effective thing we can do in this moment is just start finding these soldiers and helping them to resist.
Dar Jamail, live and in person, September 20. And if you have vowed to get off your fatty acids and start supporting insubordination, sedition, mutiny, dereliction of duty, willful disobedience of orders, and other ways of saying 1, 2, 3, 4, we don't want your AFPAC war, but don't know where to start, you won't go wrong by locking and loading that internet browser and navigating over to the Iraq Veterans Against the War, www.ivaw.org. That's www.IndiaVictorAlphaW.org. Browse around, then enter the name of your state, and you can see what's happening in your very own little corner of the land of the free and the brave. Thanks for listening, New World Notes comes to you from the foxholes and the trenches of the aptly coded radio station Whiskey Whiskey Uniform Hotel, 91.3 on everybody's foxtrot mic dial. The opinions expressed here are mine or Dar Jamail's, or probably both. And let not the fact that Dar is younger and better looking than me prejudice you against him. Tune in again next week, when we'll have more military alphabetizing by the likes of Jane Fonda and sure looks like Quincy Jones, entertaining the troops in Asia circa 1971 with those magic three letters FTA, Foxtrot Tango Alpha, which stand for Verb the Army. Opinions vary as to what the verb should be. Ciao!
At my face and read out an order to Barbie. I said, Foxtrot, Tango, Alpha.
F the Army. We always said free the Army or fun travel and adventure, but it really meant the Army.
So we said, Foxtrot, Tango, Alpha. F the Army!